shall come.
When he shall come, we confess us. Oh, may I let him be found. Christ is my joy. Let us know. Oh, let us stand. He is born.
Within the veil. You are the one that never fails. You are the rock that is higher than I, higher than all our challenges, higher than all our troubles. They drank from that rock that followed them all through in their years. Springs of living water coming from the rock. This morning again, we stand on that rock today. Rock of Ages, we ask you to clear for us. Create a space where we can hide our head. Thank you, Father. Please help us as we turn to your word this morning. Speak to us the way we can follow you. We have been demanding of you that you make us an instrument to shake the nations. Thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord bless you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Yesterday we began to note that whensoever God intends to bring a supernatural intervention, a supernatural shaking, something that is not out of human calculation, if it must happen on the earth, God must raise men for it on the face of the earth. And if God begins to speak to us, it is because He has us in mind. He wants to do something with our lives. By the time we were concluding yesterday night, God was only simply saying, make a choice who you want to serve. Upon whom do you want to break your alabaster box? If you don't break it on Christ, you will break it on something else. You will break the prime of your years on things that are of not any eternal value. But this morning we are going ahead. We are going ahead to begin to look at the weapons. The weapons for supernatural shaking. How does God make them? I will be reading two or three passages. These passages are very dear to my heart because they define for me a pathway that I have been running with over years. When God began to speak this, I thought it was casual. But I continue to realize that it's something God intends to do, something God wants to make out of our lives. So you will allow me to read with you Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. In Isaiah 41, I'd like you to come with me to read. I could have read the whole chapter because they are all raising an issue. But I want to come to what concerns us, what God is wanting to focus upon. And I honestly want to pray today that God will have His way with us, and that God will accomplish the desire of His heart to raise vessels for what He wants to do in the coming days. There's something God wants to do. There are mountains God wants to trash. There are men and women that God intends to break. There are obstacles that must give way. But because God, in His determinate counsel, has ordained that whatever He wants to do on the face of the earth, He must raise a man for it. That's why this is becoming crucial for me and for us now. Will you please start with verse 14? Isaiah 41, verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the one wind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the cedar tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Let's stop at that point. That's one passage we are going to be walking through this morning. The second concurrent passage, which I like you to read, even if we don't have space to enter into it particularly, is Jeremiah. Come with me to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah 51. And I'd like you to pick verse 19, verse 20, verse 21, up to verse 23. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. And the word former there is F-O-R-M-E-R, is the maker, the formulator, the one who creates. So when he used the word former, he's talking about the one that crafts and makes and creates. And that's very touching to my heart. And God is saying, I will make you. And this passage is saying, He is the maker of all things. And Israel is the Lord of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with you the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Did you follow the passage? Eh? Alright. Two passages that we will need to walk through if the Lord will give us help as far as He will help us to go. We are dealing with weapons for supernatural shaking. God's weapons for establishing His counsel on the face of the earth. Now, there's another passage I must add in order to give us the tripod of what we are going to be looking at today. And that passage, again, is Psalm 110. I want you to quickly turn to Psalm 110. We are not going to study them all together, but it's okay. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I do what? Until I make thy enemies what? Thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn, and He will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of His wrath. He shall judge among the hidden. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. I said we have read a tripod of passages. Each of them have some critical issues in common. And I want to highlight them very quickly before I now settle into how God makes them. From all that we have read, you will notice that instrument for spiritual and for supernatural shaking, they are not bananas. Instruments that will cause the purpose of God to be established on the face of the earth, they are not reeds. They are not things that are flappy and flabby, that bend. They are not soft instruments. They are not things that can change their shape under any pressure. The kind of instruments that God is speaking to us about here repeatedly, God was describing them, and if you are just reading, you will know that the kind of instrument that God is saying, I want to raise, you know that they are not for ordinary ceremony, they are for battle. Eh? They are a confrontational instrument that will confront obstacles and get them subdued. I don't know whether you are getting that sense. Don't worry about how we are going to get at it. Let me just describe them and then I'll go ahead. Can you imagine that God is saying, I want to make you a new star threshing? Now, when you use the word threshing, what's the meaning of threshing? A threshing instrument is something that does not come to grit the material. What does it come to do? It comes to scatter, it comes to grind, it comes to break it, it comes to squeeze it, to crush. Please permit me to speak in the language in which the Holy Spirit is speaking. Because the kingdom of God suffered violence. Listen, please. The kingdom of God does not suffer money. It's not money. The kingdom of God does not suffer strategy. Many of us have so many strategies and ideas and programs. The kingdom of God, honestly, does not suffer intellectualism. If I just ask people to sit down now and produce papers, how to change something, how to change Nigeria, how to do this, they will present brilliant papers that have ended in the shelves. The kingdom of God, honestly, does not suffer human beings that can dramatize. The kingdom of God does not suffer anything like that. And if I want to tell you, what people thought is the problem of the kingdom of God is not. The kingdom of God does what? Suffers what? Violence. And those who God must use to establish the kingdom of God, they cannot be anything less than what? Violent men, violent women. Nigeria is not going to yield to the kingdom of God by discussion. Oh my God, you are not hearing me? The reason is because the person you are negotiating with is wicked. Is completely intentional in doing evil. The complete configuration of its life is to steal, is to kill, is to destroy. Satan doesn't come to bargain with anybody. He comes to take over. He has an insatiable desire to destroy. When he has destroyed and destroyed and destroyed, you will think he's satisfied. He says, is there anything more to destroy? He is a relentless, please follow me. The man we are contending with is relentless. He doesn't give up. Those who easily give up, they cannot match him. Those who will do something like this and suddenly they go and sit and say, we have even tried. They are not a match for the enemy we are contending with. The reason why God will have me speak to you this morning is because if God is going to do what he says, and we are talking about supernatural shaking, even the word supernatural shaking is not a friendly word. Is it a friendly word? Eh? Papa. If you are talking of a shaking like an earthquake, can we sit down here? So, what kind of men, what kind of women, what kind of weapon is God looking for? They cannot be ordinary negotiators. They must be violent men and women that are also bent on taking over. Oh Lord, did you hear me? They are not satisfied with just petty. I say, just give me a little space so that at least I can have my own space. No. Because the one you are contending with has an insatiable desire to possess, to occupy, to take all. The powers we contend with, are you hearing me? They are not kind. There is no tear of sympathy in the eyes of the devil. When he has pinched you, and you are crying, and you are crying, you are crying, do you know what he does? He smiles to himself. He says, we have just started. How can we have people to confront him who only goes and says, well, you know, I'm sorry. No. God's language about the men and women he wants to use has not been less than violence. Now, look at the passage. The passages we have read. Let me start from the Psalms 110 that we have just read without spending too much time there for now. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until when? What's the word make there? What's the meaning of the word make there? Until I make your enemies thy footstool. What's the implication of that word? Until I compel. That's not a kind word. Eh? This man is not my friend. Come here now. Come here now. He's not my friend. And he has not accepted me as his senior brother. You see, if he has accepted me as his senior brother, as he sees me now, what will he do? He will frustrate. If somebody frustrates for me, do I need to do anything again? I just rub my hand and say, God bless you. But now here's a man who is coming shoulder to confront me. If I want to make him my pussy, what do I do? Am I kind? Eh? You are not supposed to be kind to the serpent. Even the Yoruba proverb says, the serpent is a wicked man. Don't do him good. Because whatever good you do to the devil, when he stands up, he will not say thank you. He will bite you. So God said to Jesus, sit down at my right hand until I do what? Until I make your enemies thy footstool. Until I compel your enemies. Until I cripple them. And they become your footstool. And how was God going to do it? He now said. He now said. Look at what he said. He said, the Lord shall send the rod. the rod of your strength. So when we came to Jeremiah 51 and he said, Israel is the rod of my inheritance. Again, as I look at the word, the rod, not a stick. Not a stick. Not a reed. Not a reed. Not something that if you do like this, you just bend in your hand. Say the rod. And not the rod of your weakness. The rod of your strength. I will send them out of Zion. If Zion, as all of you know, is the city of the living God, is the church. Abi? We all say, we're on the mountain Zion, we're on the mountain Zion. Yes, thank you. Yes, that's where we have come. The church is Zion. In Israel, when they wanted to plant the tabernacle, where did they plant it? On Mount Zion. God said, I will send out of Zion the rod of what? Of your strength. Now, two words there. If you read the next line, it says, rule down. Where? In the midst of your enemies. Now, if you are going to rule in the midst of your enemies, how will it happen? It will be by force. It will be by force. It will be that. And what the word of God used in the midst. Oh my God, did you understand the word in the midst? What's the meaning of in the midst? That's very good. You see, when you use the word the midst, it means the enemy are the majority. Oh my God, did you understand that now? If you say, I am in the midst, what it means that in front, on the right, on the left, everywhere, they are surrounding you. And they can easily have choked you up because they are in their midst. But yet, in the midst of your enemies, you will do what? You will rule. So, what kind of instrument, what kind of rod must God make and raise and develop that He can send out? And I want all of you to know that. Thank God for all of us here. Thank God for church. Thank God for church. But the battle is not in the church. What God is preparing us for is not inside church hall. What God is looking to raise men for is not inside this sanctuary. I will send out of Zion the rod of your strength. They will go to the gates of hell. They will go to where the leadership of hell are sitting together. And there in their midst, what will they do now? They will rule. Oh my God, did you understand what I'm talking about now? We need to produce people that we can send into the midst. In the midst of those who are not passionate about our God, whose complete intention is how to dismantle the purpose of God. They wake up every morning planning. How do we obliterate the name of Jesus from this place? They have their strategists who are strategizing day and night. We will not have this man to rule over us. And they are not talking it casually. The Bible said they are enraged. Some people say, why do the kings of the earth, why do they do what? Rage. Which means they have a mobilization inside of them. And I pray that God will open your eyes. If you go to the other side, they are enraged. When they are discussing as if this is a do or die battle. Are you understanding that now? They are not tired. I don't know how to describe this, because if you don't understand what God is looking, men looking for you to use you for, you may not understand the kind of men that God and the kind of women that God wants us to be. I said the enemy, they are what? They are enraged. Do you remember that in the days of the apostles, as soon as God began to raise the apostles to use them, did you see the rage of Satan? Eh? Did you see I don't know why. Someone had been crippled for 40 years. And by the mighty hand of God, he was healed and he was jumping and rejoicing. I thought that the whole community will do what? Will do a thanksgiving service. And call the brethren that God you and say, Kai, we thank God for you. Where have you been? Can you please assist us for other problems in the community? Is that what they did? They were so enraged that they called an emergency meeting and said, do you know what they are doing? They want the name of that Jesus to take over the whole place. Let's do something about it. Enraged. While the brethren were still in the temple, while some people are still greeting them and saying, thank you. So you are the one who prayed for this man. You see how the emissaries came. What did they do immediately? They just seized them. That's the right word. They seized them. You see, as I'm reading the Bible, little words touches me. They not just say, they just ask them, can you, excuse me, can you? No. What did they do? They seized them. They captured them as if they were criminals. And they bundled them out. And as they bundled them out, they threw them into the prison. No trial, nothing. Is that how to treat human beings? Is that how to be a correct citizen? They are not interested in citizenship. They don't believe in the rule of law. Their master is lawless. And what he wanted to do is to see if he can exterminate the name of our Lord. Now, but look at the brothers. Look at the brothers. Why they pushed them. They dragged them. They beat them. They molested them. They thought that would intimidate them and they would keep quiet. You remember? When they got to the prison, the Lord came and tapped them. Stand up. Go again. Go and stand there. So they jumped out of the prison. Instead of washing their wound and said, thank God that we are delivered, let me just go home. I don't want to endanger my life. No, no, no. This brother already dead to death. They are dead to life. They are not interested in living. What am I living for if I'm already a compromiser? They went and stood. Before the Sanhedrin will arrive, they are taking over. They were already declaring the name of Jesus. Then, while the Sanhedrin was sitting down, just thinking, okay, what shall we do to this man now? Somebody walked to them and said, excuse me, the men you took yesterday and cast into the prison, I thought you locked them up. Say, yes, yes, we locked them up. We locked them up. He said, ah, go and check who. They have already gone back to the temple. They have taken over. All the officiating ministers were not allowed to do anything. And everybody is listening to them. 5,000 souls have already followed them. He said, what? No, no, it can't be true because we locked them up very securely. So they sent for the prison warden, said, go and check. Go and bring them out. By the time they got there, the prison door was locked. Everything was intact. But when they opened, they were not there. Do you know what the people confessed? They said, what kind of thing is this? Where will this matter go? You remember that I discussed. Say, what are we going to do now? That a notable miracle was done by their hand, we cannot deny it. And everybody in Jerusalem already are hearing them. If we don't do something, they will take our place. Come bring them. Let us warn them very sternly that they should not speak about that name again. Otherwise, we'll deal with them. But before we give them, we'll give them thorough pity to know that we are serious. That's how they brought Brother Peter and Brother John. These grave-looking men with their long demons. They called them and said, yes, are you the one causing confusion in the city? Did we not tell you to stop preaching in that name? Ah, Peter stood up and said, if it is the cause of a man that was born crippled that you are questioning us, the stone that you builders, now is that a confrontational preaching? Eh? You builders, the stone that you rejected, has become the chief cornerstone. And if you are querying us by what name we did this, it is the name of that Jesus whom you crucified. Did you see where his finger was pointing? Is he not looking for problem? He's pointing his finger at the nose of elders. That's the kind of men Jesus raised. That's the kind of instrument that brought the initial shaking. I will be telling you how, who they were when we get back to where we're going. But it's very critical this morning for us to understand what we're talking about. Supernatural shaking, supernatural shaking, supernatural shaking. God will do it. But God is saying, do I have people yet? Do I have men that I can use to do that kind of work that I had when I started? Men that will not chicken out. So by the time they sat, and this brother says, sir, if this is the question you are querying us about, you also judge whether it is correct for us to obey God, I mean, to fear you and disobey God, you also check. I want you to know. I wish you were there to see how they said, you also check. I'm asking you also check. Is it right for us to obey you, mere human being, and disobey God? Anyway, whatever your decision, we cannot but obey Him and speak the word that He has given us to speak. We are witnesses of these things, and the Holy Ghost also is our witness. When they saw that these are they beat them. You know, I don't know whether you know when a rage rises. They just say, "What are you doing listening to these barbarians? These are barbarians. Some say, "Yes, actually they are barbarians. They are unschooled, they are unlearned, but they have done something that we cannot deny. They have done a miracle that the whole of our theological training, our doctoral training, could not do. We can't deny it." And then someone says, "The way this man is even speaking so boldly, he has been with Jesus." Ha! When they finished beating them, they thought that they would be crowned. The brethren say, "Praise God, hallelujah." You see how terrible it was for the Sinai Council. Say, "These are unrepentant. These are very stubborn. Jesus had entered them. We don't know what they drank. They drank Jesus. There's nothing you say, it just entered their head." As they were singing and going out of the entry council rejoicing, and they're saying, "We thank you, Lord, that we have been counted worthy to suffer for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah." That was the kind of men that Jesus raised for the supernatural shaking that took place in the beginning. Am I correct? Let me tell you. Do you know that is the kind of training that Jesus trained His disciples? Do you remember He taught them? Because I'm concerned that the reason why the church has become like this is because something went wrong with the kind of men we are training. And unless we return back to deal with the Word of God properly, we may be majority, but we become slaves. Please take note of what I've said. Say, "Bradley, why are you prophesying like that?" It's not a prophecy. It is a reality. If majority keep silent, the minority that decide to take over, they will take over. Intelligence will not stop it. They will take over. In fact, they will engage your intelligence to start them. Jesus taught them as part of training when He was raising the disciples. Do you remember? He said, "Happy are you when you are persecuted for my name's sake, for great is your reward in heaven." He did it then like that. He said they will cast you into prison because of me. But when you do that, rejoice. Rejoice. Because the Spirit of glory will rest upon you. Was that what He taught them? He said, when they bring you before the council, don't worry about what you will say. At that moment, open your mouth. I will do what? I will feel it. Was that what He taught them? That was why these brothers were like that. Now, do you know that our opponents. They are taking what should have been our own theology, and they have used it to raise their own. When we have abandoned our own correct theology, people gather here Sunday after Sunday, we're only telling them stories of how they are going to become big, how they are going to settle down, how we are going to dedicate their mansions, all of that. That's all we are telling them. There is no class that is producing militant Christians. Are you hearing me? Who is producing rods of his strength that will go into the garrison of the Philistines and take over? We are not producing something. Meanwhile, they took our theology. They sit down in the mosque. You don't know what they are telling themselves. They are saying, it is an abomination. This is their teaching. Maybe you don't know. It is an abomination for a true Muslim to be under the leadership of an infidel. If you find yourself in a system and the person in charge, the director or the pastor or anything, is an infidel, who is an infidel? All of us, with all your intelligence, they don't call you, they say it's an infidel. You are the one who thought they respect you. They don't. They look at you as an infidel. They say, if you happen to find yourself under the leadership of an infidel, that's an abomination. Do everything that lies within your power to overthrow him. And if you cannot, make life difficult for him until he willingly surrenders. You are not with me again. Eh? And then they said, and if in the course of doing that, you have to die in the course of our kingdom, there is a special package waiting for you in Aljanna. And your package becomes bigger if in the course of this you die. So you wonder why a professor, beautiful lady, just to be sure that she's fighting a cause of Islam, wears hijab. Are they not beautiful for their faces to be seen? Talk to me. Eh? Talk to me now. But to them, the cause of their own kingdom supersedes their convenience. Me, I would have to be begging our own girls. I'm not even saying they should cover their hair, just to dress properly and not to be an advertiser of evil. And they say, Rabbi is talking too much. Can you carry such kind of girls into the midst of the enemy and they will do anything? Eh? Now I'm asking, how did they collect our own original theology and left us with this empty carcass that has produced a very terrible weakling of a church? I And I'm behind this one saying, well, you know, let us not indoctrinate our people. Let us not. Can anybody know anything without being indoctrinated? Why did you become black men? Why did you accept black men? Is there anything you know in your life that was not first an indoctrination before you start searching out to know more about it? Eh? Oh my God, you are not talking to me. But now, we are telling ourselves, our small children, don't tell them what to do. Let them choose what they like. Even as a primary school teacher, you don't tell children what to believe. Give them the right to let them pick whatever they like. That's the kind of thing that you thought was a correct education. Now you are born abroad, they are saying, look, that they call you a girl or a boy is not compulsory. That's the opinion of your parents. You have to choose which gender you want. So now we cannot assert that you are a girl. Say, no, don't do that. When I choose to be a girl, I'll let you know. And there are provisions in our curriculum. UNESCO is producing curriculum that is destroying us, and we are the ones that are carrying it. You are setting up schools, but those who supply curriculum, they are preparing you for something else. And we are quiet. I don't know why. Things that nobody will ever attempt. If you just mistakenly do anything like a cartoon, and you look like a ridicule of Muhammad, you are gone. You are not only the one who dies alone. They will not stand up. They say, do you know all this cavalry, what they are doing, Let's go and do bang Danny. Let's go and deal with them. They see you as an infidel who has no value. And they are enraged. And they can go about burning churches. And they are not afraid. And the people that are burning churches, there are only about 20 people. But they have been told that in the course of doing it, if you die, straight. So the question is, how do we raise instruments that can counteract that in the midst of his enemy? I don't know whether I'm communicating with you, sir. That's where the matter is. So when I give a call and say, who is on the roster? Who dare to stand for him? Who will go for him? We don't want to cajole you. We are looking for men and women who will sign their lives for Jesus and say, Lord, for the supernatural shaking, for your kingdom to be established in our own day, in our own generation, I am a willing volunteer. He said, your people shall be willing in the day of your power. Is that what the Bible says? I am a willing volunteer. I think it's NIV that said, your people shall volunteer willingly. Am I communicating with you? Eh? Now, before I go on the issues, I now want you to see that when he said, and I will make you a new threshing instrument,
having teeth.
What does that show you? Eh? That God is looking for instruments that has teeth, that can bite. We are not looking for toothless dogs. We are not looking for those that are just simply there for decoration. We are not looking for those who only occupy space. I will make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument. Threshing. And then what are we going to thresh? Look at the Bible. What are they going to thresh? In that chapter 41 of Isaiah, verse 15. Please help me check. They will be threshing lettuce. They are going to be threshing cucumber. Is that what they are to be threshing? He said, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth, and thou shalt thresh what? Mountains. And you will beat hills. You beat them down like ordinary what? Chaff. Hills. When I've come on reading that, I said, God, do you mean that the kind of man you want me to be, the kind of instrument you want to make me, is not beggarly? It's not a beggarly instrument. It's not an instrument that cannot confront mountains. So yesterday when I began to introduce to you Zechariah chapter 4, and we are talking about Zerubbabel, what was God raising Zerubbabel also to do? Eh? You remember that when we read Zechariah 4 verse 6 and verse 7, it said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit says the Lord. Do you remember that passage? Eh? It said, you will, that mountains will be flattened, that will be leveled before you. Do you remember? Eh? And you will do what? You will bring forth the headstone thereof. You get on top of mountains when you have leveled them. You carry the capstone and begin to wave it and say, the Lord has done it. The Lord has done it. That's the kind of man that God was talking about. Then we went to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is also saying, you know, I don't know how to put what is in my spirit to share with you quickly, but I have found that the men that God is talking about that he wants to raise now, they are militant men. Militant women. How the Holy Spirit will do that is one matter that we are going to pray about now. Praise the Lord. But I want you to get a clear picture before you will say, Yarama, use me. Before we sing that song, I want you to know what he's looking for. Do you know? He says, with you, I will break in pieces. The word break, is that a friendly word? I will break in pieces nations. I will destroy kingdoms. With you, I will break in pieces man and woman. I will make you such a weapon, a battle axe. Say, you are my battle axe. And with you, I will break it. You know, I don't want to talk about all of that now because there's no time. But I just want you to understand that those things that God says, those, you know, they were recurrent from that passage. I will break with you. Will I break in pieces the nations? With you will I destroy kingdoms? With you will I break in pieces the horse and its rider? And with you will I break in pieces the chariot and its rider? Did you see that all the I will break in pieces, I will break in pieces, I will break in pieces? Those are not casual things. Those are deliberate interventions. But what is touching my heart is that with you, I will. Who will do it? Who will do it? But with who will he do it? That's where the matter is. Are we going to say, Lord, make me your battle axe? Make me do something in my life so that when you take me in the midst of your enemy, you'll be able to rule. But this morning, we are not going to deal with how to do that. Our first need is, Lord, make me. But now, I now want you to see something quickly. Because you know, as I describe this, you might be thinking that the men that God can use like that, they must be strong in themselves. Abi, you know, the impression you would have to say, the kind of people that I believe is describing, they have to be what? Strong in themselves. But now look at how the word of God puts it. Isaiah 41 that we read, let's go over it again, and we'll read our regular passages that we've been working on through this meeting. Look at that verse 14. Is there any word that catches your attention in verse 14? Fear not, thou what? Warm. Thou warm Jacob. Please check that. Did you see the word? Thou warm Jacob. So which means this threshing instrument that God is looking to make, are you understanding? It can even take a worm that is available in his hand, a worm. Baba, what is a worm? Is a boneless creature. A kolo. If you pick it in Yoruba language, that's how they call it. You were Jacob a kolo. That's how they put it in the Yoruba language. So it's a worm, boneless, spineless, defenseless, completely weak. If you bring a worm here now, you don't need a cutlass to cut it. You just do your leg like this. The worm has cut into pieces. And if you really don't want it at all, you just do like this. Everything will just disappear like that, just mashed up. And yet, that's the one God wants to use as a threshing instrument. That will be the glory of God. That will be the speciality of God, who makes something out of nothing, who takes the weakest of things on earth and turns them around, and they become instruments of his power. So, brother, my dear sister, your explanation said, no, you know, I don't know many things, I'm so weak, I'm not like Brother Billy is describing. Actually, we don't need anything more than a worm to achieve what God wanted. But that worm has to become available in the hand of God. You know, I was saying yesterday, how could Jesus want to take over the whole world? And when he came, everything about him shows that this is the way. He was going to be born. This is the mighty prince of heaven. Are you understanding? This is the only son of the mighty God. And God is going to bring him to the earth. And there was no hospital. There was no space. And when the labor came, there were no special midwives. And the Lord of heaven was born in a manger. And yet, that is the desire of the whole nation. That is he who is going to rule the whole earth. And God was bringing him like that to show that the kingdom of God, are you hearing me? The kingdom of God does not begin with an energetic man. The kingdom of God does not begin with self-accomplished men and women necessarily. The kingdom of God could actually begin where nobody thinks. The king that will be the king of the whole universe has been born. And the only people that saw it, they were shepherds in the bush. Praise the Lord. They are the shepherds that saw it. They began to sing and dance. The wise men traveled from the east. All the brilliant intellectuals of their land did not see. They are too educated to see little things. No problem. Praise the Lord. But do you notice that when Jesus was going to pick these men that I'm describing, he went to the riverside. And he was picking people of no consequence. I don't know whether you understand. Have you ever been in any fishing community before? You've gone to fishing community around the creek where they are fishing. Go and check. All those boys, do they go to school? No. They wake up swimming. They sleep swimming. No. They're in their own world. And those of them that have advanced as to have a boat, they are the chief in the village. Because the others, what are they using? Hook and thread. That's what they use. But if you now have a boat, canoe, that's all right. And Jesus wanting to do an eternal work, a work that will shake nations. And he did not see where else to go than to go and pick such men. Why did he do that? To shame the mighty. To tell the devil that I will deal with you, but I will deal with you with what you never expected. I'm looking unto God, that God is passing through this congregation to recruit worms, people that have no strength to shame the mighty. I'm begging that the Holy Spirit will find a space to get people like that here. Excuse me. To be a church member is wonderful. But if we are not God's instrument to cause a change, we are only a consumer. A consumer of grace. But I realize that the kingdom of God, the Bible says, is like a householder who went out to do what? To recruit laborers to his vineyard. I want to pray. And I don't know how you are going to respond to God in this meeting. But let me draw the last issue that I can draw for this morning. If the Lord permits us, and we come back again, we will not build on the process. But I've said that he does not need anything more than a worm. Hallelujah. So even if you are just a worm, that's all right. Even if everything about you is so weak that you are thinking that, me, what can I do? What can I do? You are his candidate. Have you read your scriptures? Have you read the Bible? Can you check every man that God used, whether they were strong? Eh? When it was time for God to recruit Moses, the reason why God could not use him the first time is because he was a very strong man. Prince Moses. Prince Moses was coming with a rod in his hand. Really dressed like a kingly man. And he just came to supervise what is happening on the field. You can see his two hands in his pocket and some little entourage following him. Then he came around. Then he saw one Egyptian misbehaving with an Israelite. He looked at him and said, look at him. Is it because my people are here? That's why you are dealing with them like that. I'll tell you that I'm in charge. God has called me to deliver these people. You see now. Then he just called them and said, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? As he was born, you were born. I will show you now. And then he brought his sword. I hit the man's head, and the man died. When he looked left and right, he noticed that the man is dead. He knew it's an offense. What did he do quickly? He dug one shallow grave, buried it. He was going back to his head. Small, small, we're going to deliver our people. He was too strong for God. That strength has to be evacuated. When this brother said he was a stammerer, I tried to go and check the Bible whether Moses actually was a stammerer. That's not what the Bible said about him. In Acts chapter 7, they said Moses He was mighty in words and in deed. That means he was a great orator. He has a way of mobilizing people by speaking. How did he become a stammerer? Something had been evacuated from his life. God took him out and put him where he can evacuate him until he becomes weak for God to use. Those are strong, those who are very strong, they are not usable. Those that are energetic in themselves, their energy will be the defeat in the battle. Those who have very, very serious capability in themselves, they are of little or no use to God. And if God will use them, he has to evacuate them. He has to take away the strength of their muscles which they can trust and bring them to a place where they are totally, helplessly dependent on him. Hallelujah. Now, the man said, I'm a stammerer. I can't go. Nobody will hear me. They will say, who sent you? They will say, I'm a liar. Oh my God, send someone else. That's the man God needs. The man who has lost every sense of his own importance. The man who has become completely oblivious of what he could have done by himself and can only hang on the Almighty God to do what only God can do. That's the man God is looking for this morning. Did you go away from that man and you go to Gideon? We talk about Gideon, isn't it? Oh, I want to be in the Gideon's army. I want to be Gideon's army. Wonderful. But did you know the discussion? Gideon said, me, I'm the least in my father's compound. My father is the least. We have a clan. Our clan is the least in Israel. How are you saying like that about me? God said, yes, go in this your might. What is the might of a man who has nothing? It's the might of the Almighty that has decided to use it. What God wants to do is militant. It requires violence. But this violence, this power, this energy will not be by your might, will not be by your power, it will be by my spirit, says the Lord. That scripture yesterday said, you will succeed because of my spirit. But the critical matter this morning is God saying, who will come with me? Who will I send? Who can I prepare for this kind of assignment? Who is going to say, Lord, if this is the reason why I'm alive, and this is the reason why you have exposed me to Jesus, and this is the reason why I should be alive now, to make me a rod of your strength. I'm so touched about that. I don't know how to put it, but you know, some little pictures come to my mind when I read the Bible. He said, the rod of your strength. What's the meaning of that? The Yoruba man, they say, I lapa ladawu. That a cutlass or a machete is only as sharp as the strength of the one who holds it. Did you understand? Carry a very sharp machete. Put it in the hand of a boy that has no muscle. Can he cut anything? It's sharp, but it cannot cut. Because the strength of the machete is not in the machete. It's in the hand that is holding it. So when he said the rod of your strength, it clearly shows me that, okay, if I can just become a rod in his hand, the strength that transmits through that rod, it's not me, it is his strength. Hallelujah. It means then that if I can just be an instrument in God's hand, and God says, I have got a rod now, that's alright. That's alright. The strength that will emanate from that rod, the effect of that rod, is not me now, it is the hand. It is the hand that holds the rod that determines the strength coming out of that rod. Am I together with you? So, when he says, you will be, he will send out of Zion the rod of your strength. I say, all right, Lord. So all it means now is that let God just have someone that is not going to bend. That when God wants to use it, he will not just rely and say, God, please, I'm tired. That God will be able to transmit his supernatural strength through that rod. Then we'll start seeing things. Then we'll start seeing results. Then we'll start seeing the power of God at work. Praise the Lord. So what is my request for this morning first? I have not gone to the point of how he makes them. Praise the Lord. And I have not rushed at it because every instrument, before you start the making, you define it. You define what you want to do with an instrument before you start making it. Am I right? It's not after you have made a pot that you decide what that pot will be used for. When did you decide what the pot will be used for? Before you start making it. If you want to use it as a cooking pot, you want to use it as a drum pot, whatever, or flower pot, you have decided it before you start. The reason why this morning we have to look at the kind of instrument that God needs to bring shaking to our generation, to bring shaking to Nigeria, to bring shaking to this present world. Why we have to do that is so that we can have a perspective. May the Lord help us. When Jesus was calling his disciples and said, and he gave that instruction in chapter 14 of Luke, and he was looking too serious. He said, what are you talking about? If a man is going to face an army that is coming against him with 20,000, will he not check whether the 10,000 he has is sufficient to confront the 20? No, I was saying, Lord Jesus, why did you use that illustration? How can you be comparing 10 with 20? Are you not a failure already? Then he dawns on me, I said, no. I do not need to pile up number with number. I need one that will chase them. That is God's mathematics. One of you will chase 1,000. Two of you will put 10,000 to rout. So how do you produce one that when you throw it into the midst of the enemy that are 10, he rules them? Are you getting me now? How do you produce one Samson? It bothers me that Samson misbehaved. Samson would have been one of my heroes But he misbehaved. He misused the power. So we can't quote him again. But when you look at Samson, what God wanted Samson to be, right from the womb, God said, look, this boy, I need him. So, anything like drinking, anything like eating useless things, touching dead things, please take it away, because I need him. He's a Nazarite. And as he began to grow, oh my God, look at what God was doing to him. He is a man who is particularly enraged against the Philistines. If he hears Philly, before they say Philistine, something will rise inside of him and say, Philistine, I'm going to deal with them. As soon as he sees Philistine, an anointing rises on him, because he said, I was born to destroy the Philistines. I was raised to destroy the Philistines. If he does riddles and joke, Philistines think that he's playing with them. By the end, they will cry. Every opportunity he had was to deal with Philistines, except that he began to misbehave. He began to run after the Philistine girls. How can you befriend the daughter of your enemy and you not enter their trap? That was terrible. He wasted Israel. Otherwise, God was raising one man that will cause the Philistines to suffer. And I wish he just had a little understanding of discipleship and raised some people around him and said, brethren, God has raised me up to raise you, so let's move. I wish there were other captains around him, but he was a lone ranger. His friends are Philistines. When he wanted to marry, His best man was a Philistine. Hi. So when Philistine came out with their trick, they gave his wife to his best man. And the boy didn't see anything wrong. By the time Philistines have misbehaved. But Samson was one weak man that God could have raised to deal with giants. I pray that God will raise people for us. For you to understand, I'm just telling you, for you to understand, Goliath was a giant. Abi, look at how they describe him. 9 cubits, 24 fingers. The people that carry his armor alone, they say the weight of his sword is something. They describe it. Everybody was quaking and shaking because of that man. He was so believed by his people that he told his people, he said, oh, look, you don't need to fight this man. Donate me. I'll face the whole of Israel. Then he came out and said, yes, we, the Philistines, we want to make a deal with you. If any of you can kill me, all my people will become your slaves. And if I finish you, then automatically you become a slave. That was the deal. Very bold. Sometimes they are so bold, they talk. And everybody was shivering, including Brother Saul. Because they have missed their own connection with God. And David said, who is this? Did you remember I called him? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I love that language. But I told you that the enemy has stolen it. They are taking it away from us. When they look at us here, you know what they say? Who is this infidel? It's an infidel. It's a cattle. Highly educated is a capital. You have seen it in Nigeria. Have you not seen it in Nigeria? Eh? Hey! The CJN that was removed. Is he a very top person that organized his removal? Very junior officer. Very junior. We were all here when that man was dislodged, disgraced. And for him not to even lose his retirement benefit, he had to beg. Say, well, we will let him just have, let him go home and be it. Finish it. They're so bold. And when the next man came, did he apologize? He came. I thought they were dressing in the normal way in which those category of people dress. Did you see him dress like that before? He came to show us that we are in charge. Did any of us talk? Talk to me. Can we talk? Why are men so bold? And we have become just like this. I want you to pray with me. Tomorrow, as a continuation of this series, we'll now begin to say now. Those of us that are saying we are available now, the process, what does God do to produce this sharp instrument? How does God work on worms? What does God inject into a worm? And it will become a threshing instrument, ability. But may God have worms to work with today. May the call of God that is coming to me and you this morning, may it produce available ones. May God find another David here who can only just carry ordinary stone. As I come to you in the name of the Lord whom you defy, and he threw a stone, wow, and the big man died. And everybody say, Is it like that? It's like that. When God finds worms to use. The Holy Spirit will do a work in our midst. So we stop at this point this morning. And our prayer is going to be simple. I've been making that prayer. I've been making that call. But I wish you'll be responding this morning with understanding, say, God, if this is the need in the nation, if this is what you have been waiting for to vindicate your name in our generation, if this is the kind of men and women you are asking to raise, and you are saying the least, even of a worm, is sufficient for you to work with, it means I can be used of you. I can be an instrument in your hand. And I want to be an instrument in your hand. What you will inject to transform this worm to become a sharp, threshing instrument, having teeth, let's wait for him. But today, would there be people who are saying, here am I, here am I. Behold me, Savior, at your feet. Deal with me as thou seest me. Lord, let it not be that I am alive and you are saying I am no man. Let it not be that I am in Zion and I am unsendable. Lord, let it not be that in this generation you are crying, you are speaking, and I'm hiding my life from your youth. This morning, O God, take this life and use it for your glory. You like to rise to pray with me. You like to rise on your feet and let's pray together.
Oh, use me, Lord. Use thee for me, just as the wind.
Walking amidst this morning again. A supernatural shaking is imminent. When we began to pray, we pray that God will find an Ezekiel that can speak to dry bones and cause a rattling. God is looking for men and women emptied of themselves, emptied of their personal ambitions. Say, Lord, use me, Lord. If you see the scope of what God wants to do, I will use you to break the nation in pieces, break kingdoms, man and woman, the chariot and his rider, and all of this, all segments of economy. All segment of human life, God is looking for a vessel to use. The people that are sitting at the gate of ICC, they are not passionate about our Father. They are sitting down there to see what they can do to evacuate the purpose of God and to weaken the kingdom of God. And God said, but who will I send? Who will go for me there? Can I have a rod in my hand that will become the rod through which my strength will be demonstrated? Can God have a space in this meeting this morning? Let's pray. Let's pray. Talk to God for yourself. Anyhow you want to talk to God. Anyhow your spirit wants to pray. Anyhow, the Lord is moving you to call on God this morning. Let's do it. In whichever way the Holy Ghost is charging you to pray, can you pray? Can you let God hear your voice? Can you let God hear you say, Lord? The kind of thing we are asking God to do, to bring about. The kind of vessel that God wants to make you. Even if God has called you to the pulpit, what kind of preacher are we to be? Are we just going to be begging men about? Peter preached, the Bible said, the hearts of men were pierced. How can we be so smooth when the souls of men are going to perish? Please be with God this morning. Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord. Use even me. Even me. A worm that I am. A spineless, boneless, non-entity that I will have been. Here is my life, oh God. Here is my life. Yes, my life, Lord. Yes, my life, Lord. We've been making decisions for this morning. Will God have men and women in this meeting to say, Lord, that kind of militant people you want to raise, violent men and women you want to raise, people who are dead to pleasure, dead to death, they are not afraid of dying. They are simply saying the will of God must be done here. I've been sent here to rule in the midst of his enemies. Oh Lord, please have mercy. Have mercy this morning. Call on God, please. Call on God for yourself. And make a personal commitment to the Lord this morning. Let God have his way. Let God have his way with you. Thank you.
Oh my Lord, have your way in my life from today. There is no rest, there is no peace, until the Lord has his way. I place my life in your hands, rest secured in your plans. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, have your way. Oh my Lord, have your way in my life from today. There's no rest, there is no peace, until the Lord has his way. And I place my life in your hands, rest secure in your plans. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, have your way. Before we conclude this meeting, I wish someone is saying, oh my Lord, have your way. There's no other reason why I would be alive if I cannot be the rod of your strength. There's no other reason why I would be spared. I have seen people serving useless gods. They are ready to die for what they are doing. What am I doing that I'm holding back and you can't do what you want to do with my life? This morning, oh my Lord, have your way. Should you want to do that, wherever you are, whether you are kneeling down or you are standing, can you join me? But you must say it only for yourself. Oh my Lord, have your way in my life from today. There's no peace. There's no peace. Oh, see the Lord has his way. I place my life in your hands. Rest secure in your plans. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Have your way. We're taking that song 4 times only. And as we are singing it, as we are saying, Lord, have your way with me. Either you're on your knees or you're on your feet, you are searching for those hands, and let it be registered that you are saying that to God. Because when we now begin to let God have his way, we don't know how he will shoot you forth. Oh, my Lord, have your way in my life from today. From today, there is no rest, there is no peace. Oh, the Lord has his way. I place my life in your hands, rest in your hands. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, have your way. Oh my Lord, have your way in my life from today. There is no rest. There is no peace. Until the Lord has His way, I place my life in your hands. Rest secure in your plans. Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. Have your way. Have your way. We're doing it two more times before we pray together. Oh my Lord. In my life. And every day, there's no rest. There's no rest. Nothing I'm going to do again. But in the Lord, that's His way. I live my life in your hands. Rest secure in your hands. Your plan for me is better. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, have your way. We're doing it finally now. Oh my Lord, have your way in my life from today, from this moment, oh God. Let's do this. Let's do this. What is the Lord? Have your way. You must have your way with me, O God. I place my life in your hands. Rest secure. Rest secure in your plan. Oh my Lord. Oh my Lord. Have your way. We do translate to God. Nothing to hold back, Lord. Lord, you are able to make a sharp fresh instrument out of worm. We have seen you demonstrate it before. We have seen you do it in different lives before. We have heard stories of how you changed men from nothing and used them to do great exploits. You shook their lands because you got a rod in your hand. Father, this morning, make us rods in your hand in the name of Jesus. Make us battle axes in your hand in the name of Jesus. This morning, oh God, make us your threshing instrument, adding teeth. Sharpen our lives. Make us a polished shaft. And cause your enemy to suffer. Lord, we are asking that the violence that the kingdom of God lacks, restore it to us and through us in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we are asking this morning, let a walk begin here. Let a move start here. When you began to walk in the life of Gideon, the Midianites were still comfortable. They thought they were in charge. They thought they have got it all. They have become, in fact, they will just come, they will send their men to come and ravage camps of the people. People with farms, they will come and eat up their farms. They were doing just as these men are doing to us in Nigeria today. But when you got a Gideon, the matter is settled. May you get Gideon in this meeting in the name of Jesus. He was in a corner. Nobody thought about him. He was unknown. But when your hands came on his life, we saw the wonders you did. Lord, let there be a rising army from this meeting. Lord, I'm asking that this meeting that you have allowed us to do during these few days, it cannot just be a meeting as usual. It cannot just be one routine revival. There must arise from here rods, not reeds. Rods. Rods. Rods of your strength, by which, O God, you will rule in the midst of your enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, there are young and old among us who are saying, yes, Lord. If this message is coming to me, even at this age, it means you have not finished with me. Lord, I ask that whatever remains of our lives, it must become relevant in your purpose. In the name of Jesus. And those that you are confronting in the prime of their years, before they waste years serving the wrong thing, this morning, Father, sharpen them right away. Sharpen them for your glory, O God. Sharpen them for exploits. In the name of Jesus. Lord, as we come back again tomorrow, we trust you, Father, that the process, the injection that turns a worm, that turns a mere man to become such a sharp, threshing instrument in the hand of God, bring us into it. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.